South Africa's ruling African National Congress will choose its next party president in December. Whoever the ANC selects could very well be the next president of the country, too. As such, he will wield considerable power over how South Africa confronts two divisive issues that just don't seem to be going away. One is economic inequality. The other is, of course, race. NPR's Gwen Tompkins fills in the picture.
There's a black and tan fantasy going at the Eden Muse Apartments just outside Soweto. Maria Meyer and her boyfriend are side by side at their kitchen table in the middle of a living room so tiny that all the furniture touches. Meyer is a nurse. She has dark tan skin like the jazz great Nancy Wilson. And by the unique and official standards of South Africa, she is considered colored. Meyer says she does not have a problem with black people, but she doesn't want to live with them or near them.
Since the black government took over, I always say the blacks are trying to infiltrate. They don't give anyone space anymore.
She's just getting started.
Anyway, we knew our places before 94, before apartheid. We knew when you're black, you stay here. You do not go there because that's a white.
Her boyfriend is called Danny Chikotella, and he has dark tan skin too, the same color as the jazz great Nancy Wilson. But according to the unique and official standards of South Africa, he is black.
So are you trying to tell me now that it was nice that way?
Uh-oh. What I'm saying is when there was a white government, there was less crime, there was less poverty, there was more work opportunities. Now, everything is just getting worse.
To me, it's like, actually, the government is doing well, right? Because it's trying to mix all people together. Mandela said we should be a rainbow nation. Why not mix?
At the kitchen table that is South Africa, nearly 40 million people are probably talking about race right now. From Johannesburg to Pretoria to Cape Town and every township in between. Somewhere mixed in with the issue of race is talk about the economy, whose fortunes are up and whose are down. The next leader of the African National Congress will be at the forefront of this national conversation. Ever heard the expression black diamond? Well, a black diamond in South Africa is a black person who has become rich in the post-apartheid era. Meet Molefe Komo. He's a director at one of the top steel producers in the country. Over a glass of fancy beer at a popular restaurant north of Johannesburg, he talked about the black man's burden in South Africa. Komo says black people here trust white people more than they trust other black people.
There's a urban proverb that says, a black man's medicine is the white man. We have such self-hate that we don't support each other. We have become mistrusting amongst ourselves.
Komo and others like him have earned their wealth with the help of a government-mandated program designed to create a black middle class. The Black Economic Empowerment Program is part of affirmative action here, which asserts the rights of the historically marginalized majority. Black South Africans share in the ownership and profits of established companies. But does the wealth of a new black elite trickle down to the townships?
I think it's unfair to expect guys who have amassed wealth to become a welfare organization. I could be wrong. I don't know. It's a very sensitive subject, I think.
Moletsi Mbeki is a black economist and the brother of South Africa's president, Thabo Mbeki. He says the Black Economic Empowerment Program creates complacent millionaires, no new businesses, and most importantly, no new jobs for South Africa's 40% unemployed.
If you look at the United States model, it's the small and medium-sized companies that are absorbing the labor force, are employing people. So if you don't have an entrepreneurial class, you are not creating small and medium-sized enterprises, and therefore you are not absorbing labor.
Money may prove an even more dangerous divide than race in South Africa. Andre van Ruyen is a white former bank director in the capital city of Pretoria. He's been out of a job for the past 8 years. He says many of his neighbors hustle for work at the traffic light near his house.
All those people sitting there on the grass, standing around with their finger in the air, they're looking for a job.
And the poor are getting bolder. Crime has reportedly skyrocketed nationwide.
robbery, common robbery, armed robbery, hijacking, house robberies that are happening here.
Jacob, who does not want his real name used in this story, is a black volunteer police officer in Pretoria. Sitting in front of the nation's perfectly symmetrical union buildings, he says he wouldn't let his mother anywhere near this place.
Right here where we're sitting, they can come and rob us even now. It's not safe anymore.
South Africa's crime problem prompted Lisa Davis, a white business owner and radio host, to consider leaving the country. But sitting over cheese and Chardonnay, she says she's had a change of heart. Davis is what the people here call a born free. She is 18 years old and too young to remember apartheid. Davis speaks Zulu and says that more white people should make the effort. But she also says that black born frees should make the effort to get over apartheid.
The black girls who are my age didn't suffer from apartheid. Yes, their parents may have suffered, but they didn't suffer. Yet somehow some of them still have a chip on their shoulder, which I disagree with. Just really, really annoys me.
I can remember the rain in December, the leaves are brown on the ground. In Spain I did love and adore you.
Remember the song Spain, made popular by Al Jarreau? Here's musician Joe Scaffers on vocals from Cape Town, a place so gorgeous that sometimes you just have to sing. Fortune with a capital F smiled on Cape Town, endowing the city with two blue oceans and a mountain as green as a pile of emeralds against the sky. But colored people like Scaffers and their children's children are still struggling with the legacy of apartheid. The proof is an ugly gap of fallow land along the cityscape. That's the scar that was left when the apartheid government destroyed District 6, perhaps the most famous mixed-race neighborhood in the country.
You gaze at me. You know that type of thing.
Scaffers works at the District 6 Museum, which is pretty much what's left of the place. Old photographs make it look like Havana. District 6 had a robust jazz scene, and the races lived all jumbled up together. That's why the apartheid government broke it up and sent the colored and black people to townships in 1967. The ANC-led government has pledged to rebuild, but colored people here are losing hope.
A lot of the older folk have been waiting and waiting. Some of them have died, waiting to come back. There's still a lot of them that's waiting, and nothing has happened so far. And they come in here on a daily basis to ask, what is happening? What is the progress? Why is nothing happening?
Scaffers, who is 68 years old, says his home is gone forever.
And I think a lot of people, myself included, are not really interested in coming back. What am I coming back to? Everything that is familiar to me is gone, except for having Table Mountain behind me and the sea in front of me. Everything has changed.
He's right. Time has changed South Africa, perhaps more than the ANC ever could. And there's no going back. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Cape Town.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.